So a stronghold consisted of the walls, it consisted of the tower, and it consisted of the men of strategy. And if you had those three things present, man, there was a stronghold there. And for the most part, it would take a great army or a miracle to impenetrate those walls, get inside of that stronghold.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Shield of Faith, Part 3, from our series titled. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Shield of Faith, Part 3.
Well, we've been in a series from Ephesians chapter 6, and I've had some visitors that started coming a couple of weeks ago when I did the Shield of Faith, and this is like the third week, so they've been coming back every week because they want to hear the conclusion of this Shield of Faith. And I said, well, I got to get it in this morning. I got to finish it today. But, you know, as we have been looking at the Shield of Faith, we said that Satan shoots his fiery arrows, that he shoots his fiery darts. And last week we looked at the arrow of regression, and we said that he tries to get you to backslide. We looked at the arrow of suppression, and we said that he tries to make you impotent or powerless. We looked at the arrow of depression, where we said he tries to weigh you down or discourage you. And this morning we want to look at the arrow of obsession, because what Satan does is he tries to get us to be obsessed with thoughts that render us ineffective in the kingdom of God. And we're going to begin by looking at a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Well, 1 Chronicles, excuse me. Thank you for that, brother. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1. And we are looking at how Satan works in the lives of God's people. Now, let me say this, and I will continue to say this, that we know that the devil cannot possess us because the Spirit of God lives in us. But he can have a great influence, and Satan can mess with our minds. He can do a work on us that will cause our minds, as one singing group said, to be blown. Chapter 21 and verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and enticed David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times and many more as they are, but my lord the king, are not they all my lord's servants? Why then doth the Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? So David wanted to number the people. And there was generally nothing wrong with numbering the people. It's always good to know when you go to war who you got on your side. That's always a good thing. But for some reason this time, it wasn't to be done. And one reason we know that it wasn't to be done, because it states specifically in there that Satan stood up. So anything that's inspired by Satan, we know it's not supposed to be done. And then Joab has the voice of reason. He comes to David and he says, look, let's not do this thing. Now, I don't know if Joab knew that Satan had come and spoke to David or had enticed David, but something in Joab's spirit said to him, this is not the right thing to do. But in case we doubt all that, look at verse 7, where it says, and God was displeased with the thing, therefore he smote Israel. So this was not the will of God to number the people. And so David became obsessed with this whole idea of numbering the people. It became something in his mind that Satan had influenced him, and he couldn't get this thought out of his mind, despite the fact that there were men giving him wise counsel. Despite the fact that the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, yet and still this thought became so entrenched in the mind of David that he pressed through and numbered the people against the will of God and in the will of Satan. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As we deal with this whole thing about obsession and dealing with entrenched thoughts in our mind. And here the Apostle Paul says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." This morning, as we conclude this message on the shield of faith, we want to talk about this idea, winning the battle in the mind. Winning the battle in the mind. Winning the battle in the mind. There's a war that goes on every day, and the war is in your mind. And all you got to do is turn on your TV, and you will see that there are people that are losing the battle of the mind every day. Man, my heart was gripped this past week when I got up and turned my TV on, turned the news on, and I heard about this little girl that the nurse at the school had found, or one of the teachers found, that she had 32 burns all over her body, right here in the city of Pittsburgh. And it wasn't 32 burns that were of the same nature. But they, you know, they were saying that it was like a gradated thing where, you know, it had been going on for a period of time, and there were some fresh burns that were happening just recently. And I thought to myself, what kind of mind would burn the body of a little child? That's the mind of somebody that's lost the battle up here. They lost the battle up here. And there are a lot of God's people. Every day the battle goes on in the mind. And Paul says here that you need to go and pull down those things that exalt themselves against God. In your notes today, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, Paul lets us know that we are in a battle with Satan, and the mind is the battlefield. Paul states that the believer has spiritual weapons to pull down strongholds in the mind. He says that in verse 4, he talks about pulling down those strongholds. A stronghold was a fortified place of security. A stronghold was a place that was secure, where no one could penetrate. There were three characteristics of a stronghold. A stronghold had a wall around it. A stronghold had a high tower. And a stronghold had military strategists who were in the tower. Paul uses this military language in this passage here. And a person in the first century would understand that Paul was saying that you're in a battle. He wouldn't have to go and explain this passage. Paul was making it clear that we are in a battle of the mind. And the first thing that we see is we want to look at strongholds. Strongholds. And there are three things about strongholds. The first thing about a stronghold is that it involved a wall. And whenever a city was built in the Old Testament, there was a wall that was built around it. That was the first thing that had to be done whenever a city was erected. Remember Nehemiah, what did he do? He inquired about Jerusalem, and his heart was broken down because the walls were not up. And so Nehemiah knew that somebody had to go back and put up the walls around the city. So in order to have a stronghold, the first thing you have to have is you have to have a wall. The second thing that a stronghold consisted of was a tower. Strategic points around the wall would be designated as towers that would rise above the walls. And in the walls, which is the third point here, they would put men of strategy in the walls. In the towers. And these men of strategy, what they would do is they would be able to see who was approaching. If an enemy was coming, the men in the towers, the men of strategy, would be able to see that, and then they would alert those on the ground as to what was happening outside of the walls. And that was a stronghold. So a stronghold consisted of the walls, it consisted of the tower, and it consisted of the men of strategy. And if you had those three things present, man, there was a stronghold there. And for the most part, it would take a great army or a miracle to impenetrate those walls and get inside of that stronghold. Well, Satan has a stronghold. And as we look at satanic stronghold, we see that Satan has a wall. Satan has built a wall in the mind of the unbeliever. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, that Satan has blinded their mind, that he has blinded their minds that they might believe a lie and that the gospel might be hid to them. So he's already got them. If you're unsaved and you don't know the Lord, there's already a wall in your mind. There's already a satanic wall in your mind. Now, what does Satan want to do to the believer? Satan wants to infiltrate the mind of the believer. He wants to get inside your mind, and he wants to set up a wall. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Ephesians 4 and verse 27. It says here, neither give place to the devil. Paul's talking to believers. He says, don't give place to the devil. This word place, you know what, literally what it means in the Greek? Don't give a toehold to the devil. Don't let him have a place where he can stick his toe inside your mind. In military terms, we might put it like this. Some of you who have been in the military, you understand what a beachhead is. And this is what a beachhead was a group that initially stormed the beach. And they came to the beach and they took a little section of the beach and secured that so you know what they could do? So that the rest of the forces could come and land in the same spot. Satan wants to build a wall in the mind of the believer. He wants to come and get a toe in your mind so that he can bring the rest of his builders to continue to build the fortress in your mind. And many people are letting the devil have a toe. Paul says, don't give place. Don't give place. Don't give him a crack to get into your life. Because if you give him a crack, guess what? He's bringing the whole shooting match just by you leaving a little crease. So there's the satanic wall. And then Satan has a tower. Once he gets in and gets that toe in your mind, gets that wall established, then what does he want to do? He wants to erect the tower in your mind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, y'all stay with me now. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me now. I'm going somewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The context of this passage is a brother that they had put out of the church. Paul is telling them to forgive him now, and they're having a difficult time forgiving him. And Paul said, well, let him back. He said, unless Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, check this out. This word devices in the Greek is the word nous. And actually, many commentators translate this word as, check this out, this is deep, mind games. We are not ignorant of Satan's mind games. That he plays games with your mind. So once he gets that toe in your mind, once he has established that toehold in your mind, then he's going to play all kind of games and do what? And begin to erect a tower in your mind. Now, I'm teaching this thing now, but we're going to make it very practical here in a second. We're going to make it very practical here in a second. But I just need you to follow along with me with this analogy. So he gets a toehold,
which he builds a wall. He plays games with your mind, where he erects a tower. And then he puts the men of strategy in the tower. And this is a verse that we have looked at in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, where he says that the devil has many wiles. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, in your notes, it says this, under that point, the men of strategy under Satan. Once the devil has constructed a wall and a tower in our mind, he has various strategies to keep the believer under his influence. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles from the Greek word methodios. And the Amplified Bible says that you may be able to stand against the well thought out attacks. He wants a toehold to build a wall. He has schemes to build a tower. And he has methods to put men of strategy in your mind. Now, as we think about this, because somebody say, well, the devil ain't getting in my mind. I'm not letting the devil get in my head. The devil can't get in my mind. The devil doesn't. Well, let me show you something before you get too arrogant and too proud. Let me share with you some breeding grounds for a satanic influence mind. Some breeding grounds for a satanic influence mind. The first thing we see is a defeated mind. A person that has the attitude of defeat. Well, you know, I could never live this Christian life. You know, it's just too hard. You know, I like to have party. I like to have a good time. I like to go out and be with my friends. I like to do this. I like to do that. And I could never live this Christian life. You know what? That's breeding grounds right there for satanic influence. As soon as you do that, as soon as you take an attitude of defeat, Satan is going to jump right in there. And you know what? Something always fills a vacuum. Something always fills a vacuum. Any place that there's a vacuum, something will fill it, even if it's just air. And if you have a vacuum that's been left by defeat, I guarantee you, my brothers and sisters, that Satan is going to jump right on that. When you begin to tell yourself that you can't do this and you can't do that, when you begin to limit yourself, Satan will jump in there and he will play mind games with you and he will set up a tower in your mind. He will put men of strategy in that tower and they will take control of you and you will render yourself ineffective sitting on the sideline because you said, I can't do this and I can't do that. A defeated mind. A suspicious mind. You know, Elvis Presley said, yeah, we can't go on together with suspicious minds. You know, folks, some folk have suspicious minds. You know, you ever see the cartoon where somebody is running up and then they hide behind this like they're trying to sneak up on somebody? Then they run and they hide behind something else, and the person is always looking, but they can't see them. That's a suspicious mind. And there are many people that have suspicious minds. You just think that the whole world is against you. You think that everybody is out to get you. You think that, you know, anything that's said is an attack on you, and you receive it that way, and you just got a suspicious mind. And I guarantee you that when you got a suspicious mind, Satan will mess with you. Because, you know, people be standing over here talking about the Steelers. Oh, man, I wish that they wouldn't turn the ball over so much. And here you are over here. See, I know they're talking about me. I know they're talking about me over there. I should go over there and say something to him. Man, they ain't thinking about you. But see, Satan will get in there, and he will work with that suspicious mind, a lazy mind, a mind that's unengaged. You know, you got to have your mind engaged, and you got to keep your mind active. When you get a lazy mind, that's when Satan comes in. There was a guy, he was walking down the street in China, and he walked into this tattoo shop. And there was a tattoo shop that said, Born Loser. And he went to the guy and he said, man, I can't see anybody that would get a tattoo on their body that says Born Loser. So he went and asked the guy. He said, do people have tattoos on their arms that say Born Loser? And the Chinese man said, yeah. He said, yeah, they do. He said, I can't believe that they would have something like that. And the Chinese man said, well, you know what? They already got it tattooed on their mind before it becomes tattooed on their body. You see, it's tattooed on your mind first. And if you are a lazy, mentally thinking individual, then your mind is open for satanic influence. That when you don't engage your mind, when you're not engaged in the process, and you know, sometimes, I mean, reading is good, and I believe in reading, but you know, sometimes we might just need to sit the book aside and just begin to reason, engage our mind with what we just read. We get caught up in reading sometimes, and we want to read so many pages, we want to read this, and we never engage our mind in what we just read. And I think that's a problem with our culture today. We read stuff that this person said and that person said and what this person believes and that person believes, and we never engage our mind in the process. A lazy mind, an ignorant mind. An ignorant mind is one that's open to the lies of the devil. You haven't put the word of God in your mind. You know, it's amazing to me, and I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble now, but I'm just going to go ahead and say this anyway. It's amazing to me the number of Christians that don't believe. I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble. That's all right. Save your cards and letters, emails. that believe there's nothing wrong with abortion. I just don't understand that. How can you read the Word of God and not see in Psalm 139 where it talks about God knowing and creating and developing that child in the womb? How is it that you can't read in the Bible where God told Jeremiah, I knew you when you were still in the womb. Jeremiah, how don't you? I loved you back then. In Psalm 139, before you were even conceived, before you were thought about in the mind of your parents, that I had already wrote down all the members of your body in the book. I just don't understand that. And so that lets me think sometimes that maybe we're not studying the scriptures like we should be, because if we were, got kind of quiet, but that's all right. Because if we were, we would see that that's an issue that's near and dear to the heart of God, the ignorant mind. Oh, let me move on. The lustful mind, that mind that is into pornography, that mind that is into all the tempting and alluring things of this world that cause your heart to burn. You know, those who would become obsessed. You know, I was listening to a program where, you know, guys were talking about, man, I had to put aside the Victoria's Secret and all these other kind of JCPenney catalogs, the lingerie sections, because when I was opening them up, you know, I was just looking at that. I said, man, that's not even pornography. But these guys were, their minds, you know, they opened up their minds to the thoughts of scantily clad individuals, and it just took control of their mind, and it becomes a breeding ground for Satan. The emotional mind, the mind that's filled up with anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, that's a breeding ground for Satan. If you're sitting there today and you have unforgiveness in your heart, that's a breeding ground. That's a breeding ground for Satan to begin to put his wall up in your mind. If you're sitting there today with bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, that's a breeding ground. You know, just this past week, I had, you know, man, just to show you how, you know, I got a thought in my mind, and I should have dealt with it, and I didn't deal with it. And the more that thought stayed in my mind, the more angrier I got. I mean, I just got angry, and I should have dealt with it. I should have.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Shield of Faith, Part 3. If you would like to watch The Shield of Faith, Part 3, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Shield of Faith, Part 3. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Shield of Faith, Part 3. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.